The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await the master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch, and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, if you hadn't heard, I'm in the middle of a four-part, what we call, message series. Homilies that are connected by a theme that carry over from week to week. And I call this, "What's Really Happening at Mass?" Last week's homily was about the introductory rites, and I called it, "Preparing to Encounter." Preparing to encounter whom? Jesus Christ. We do so in at least four ways at each Mass. In the assembly gathered as the body of Christ at worship. In the priest who acts in the person of Jesus Christ as his stand-in and his instrument. In the scriptures we hear proclaimed. And of course, in Holy Communion, in the most powerful and special way possible. So, today we talk about the Liturgy of the Word, mainly about the Scriptures proclaimed, and I'm calling it God Speaks to Us. So we talk about the Bible, in the scriptures we hear at Mass, the Bible does contain the unerring word of God. But we must remember that the Bible must be used and read correctly. For example, you might have heard about, or might even tried, the practice of opening the Bible to a random page, closing one's eyes, sticking one's finger down in a random spot, and reading that verse, believing that that is exactly what God wants us to think about. Now, there's the story about a man who really wanted to be consoled because he was very upset about something. And so he tried this. Dropped the book open, closed his eyes, put his finger down. And what did he find? But his finger was pointing to the point in Luke's gospel where Judas goes out and hangs himself. He wasn't consoled at all. In fact, he was more upset. But he said, well, if at first you don't succeed, try again. So he did it a second time. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that his finger was pointing to the part of, this time, Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, go and do the same. That's supposed to get a bigger laugh. I know this is morbid stuff, but it's supposed to get a laugh. So the third time he tries it, figuring the third time's a charm, opens his eyes, and he's landed somewhere in John's gospel where Jesus says, what you're about to do, do quickly. Now that's the kind of laugh I was expecting. Good, you came through at the end. The man shut the Bible and never tried that particular method again. Maybe this is not the best way to read the Bible. As Catholics, we must also understand that we don't read all of the Bible literally. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that come from a more what's called fundamentalist tradition, where they do read everything in the Bible literally. And quite frankly, from our Catholic standpoint, this is a mistake. To read parts of the Bible, especially the early parts, for example, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, as pure science in history, is a big mistake. We as Catholics read the Bible what's called contextually, or in context, meaning that we have to keep in mind that parts of the Bible were written, all the Bible and all its different parts were written at specific times, in specific cultures, for specific audiences, for specific purposes. And unless we know that, and for those of us who need to study and teach, unless we know what those specifics are, then we will never fully understand and appreciate how God is trying to teach us through the scriptures. Yes, the Bible is the unerring word of God, inspired by God. But it is so in what God tells us consistently about his nature and about his plan for salvation for us. When we know these things, then reading and praying with the Bible is a powerful spiritual exercise that enriches our souls. But for all of that, there is no possible way to experience the scriptures more powerfully than in what we just did. Hearing them proclaimed during the worship, during the sacrifice of the Mass. Quite literally, God is speaking directly to us in a way that just can't be recreated in any other context. That is why being a minister who proclaims the word is so important. Jesus uses us and our voices, quite literally, as instruments. We, in a sense, become the voice of God. That is why the lector, the preacher, must practice and prepare the readings during the week. But that doesn't exempt those of us who are listening in the pews from doing our part. Jesus also uses our ears and our eyes and our hearts as instruments to receive his word during the Mass. That's why we must give the readings our full attention. I know this is hard to do at times. We come in with distractions. And then we hear, a reading that's very familiar, and we say, yeah, I know how that ends. We have to lean into it, believing that each time we hear, God has another special message for each one of us. That's why I'm going to talk about more at length in the next couple of weeks, bringing a notebook to Mass and keeping what's called a Mass journal. Just looking to write down one thing, one message that God has in store for you, what you think was what he wanted you to hear and take home, apart from the homily. I want you to listen to the homily too, but God can work independent, thank God, from the preacher. So we must prayerfully prepare to hear God's word during Mass, and that is why it is better, and I know this is a radical idea, especially for some. We get so used to coming in, taking a bulletin, sitting down, and reading the bulletin before Mass. Now, I encourage reading the bulletin, by all means. Lots of good stuff in there. But why not take it home and read it during the week? And why not instead spend that time before Mass prayerfully preparing to receive the word, the message that God has, asking him to quiet us down and remove the distractions? I wish I had more time to do this, folks, but if you've ever been in the sacristy before Mass, you know I don't. That's why I have to pray before I even come over here. And as I said last week, our preparation is even better if we do it all week, either alone or with others, maybe as a family, prayerfully reading at least once a day each of the scripture readings for the upcoming Sunday. It also helps us to know, as we do this, how the readings are set up for Mass in what's called the lectionary. Simply means the book that contains the readings. After Vatican II, there was one particular cardinal, almost single-handedly, who set up the way we hear the readings proclaimed in a 3-year cycle. The cycle A, B, and C keeps repeating itself every 3 years. For example, right now we are in year C, the year of Luke, in which the gospel is usually from St. Luke. Next year will be year A, and it will be usually taken from St. Matthew's gospel. And the following year it will be from the Gospel of Mark, primarily. And you say, what happened to John's Gospel? Well, before the year ends, usually Matthew, Mark, and Luke are finished. And that's when you'll notice, kind of towards the spring, we start hearing stuff from John's Gospel. So we hear it all. Now let's go through the 4 readings that we hear each Mass, each Lord's Day. Don't hear 4 during the week. The first reading is usually from the Old Testament, you've probably noticed, except in the springtime, during the Easter season, when we get 2 New Testament readings in addition to the Gospel. First one is usually from the Acts of the Apostles or maybe the Book of Revelation. But generally from the Old Testament is the first reading, and the second one is from the New Testament in one of the letters from St. Paul or one of the other apostles. Over the 3-year cycle, including daily Mass, if you were to come to Mass every day, you would hear most of the Bible proclaimed just by coming to Mass. Now getting back to the setup in the lectionary, the first reading and the responsorial psalm, which is our response to the Old Testament reading from the book of Psalms, an Old Testament book itself. So, the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the gospel reading are usually connected by a common theme. The second reading is usually not connected, but stands alone. So let's use this week's readings as an example. What's the common theme between the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the gospel? The first reading from the Book of Wisdom talks about how the Israelites had to be ready to leave the slavery in Egypt behind during the first Passover. Angel of death was coming to strike down the firstborn of the Egyptians. And when God said, "Move, follow Moses," they needed to move and follow Moses. The gospel reading echoes this in that it talks about Jesus' second coming. And we have to be ready for when he comes. He is the new Moses. And if we're snoozing, and if we're not ready, then when he says, "I'm here, follow me into the promised land that is heaven," we're not going to be ready. We're going to lose our window of opportunity. Readiness is the common theme. So I'm doing my job right now as the preacher in pointing out how the readings are connected, but I got to do more than that. I got to apply them to what it means in our lives here in Southbridge, St. John Paul II Parish, in the 21st century, in our society. My point, if I boil it down to one sentence, is that we must be like the Israelites and the disciples at Christ's second coming, and that we come to Mass ready to be led by Jesus, ready to hear the word, ready to capture that message that he has for you and for me at every Mass. And so by the time the homily is finished, this is supposed to reinvigorate our faith, set our faith on fire again, so that we can stand together and profess our faith by praying together either the Nicene or the Apostles' Creed, as Catholics have done for almost 2,000 years at Mass. And when after our faith is professed, we join our voices and hearts to offer the prayers of the faithful, to ask the Father, through the Son, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to hear our prayers for our needs today in our lives, our church, our country, our community, our world. And then ends the Liturgy of the Word. And we have another cliffhanger, because now everything is ready for our supreme encounter with Jesus in the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which is going to be my talk next week. Stay tuned.